Welcome to Nettles and Honey, a podcast where we share our birth stories. My name is Madeline White. I'm a doula, registered yoga teacher, and French immersion teacher who feels passionate about empowering birthing persons and parents through their birth and postpartum journeys. I believe that by sharing and listening to our birth stories and experiences, we are able to learn and grow as a community. This is a safe space where anyone is welcome to share their story. So thanks for tuning in, and let's get into a birth story. And welcome to another episode of Nettles and Honey, a podcast where we share our birth stories. Today we have Julie Tang coming on the podcast to share her two birth stories with us. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So before we talk about your birth stories, can you tell us a little bit about you and your family?
Yep. So I'm Julie. I'm married to Jack. And I guess we've been together 12 or 13 years, something like that. And we have two daughters. Ember is our first daughter, and Thea is our second daughter.
Amazing. Oh, such sweet names. So How about you tell us about your journey to getting pregnant and your pregnancy with your first?
Yeah. So my husband and I, during our relationship, had sort of had many, many, many conversations about whether we wanted to have kids. And we kind of went back and forth and, you know, just really like weighed all of the pros and cons. And so finally, I think this was about 9 years into our relationship, we decided, okay, I think we're interested in maybe trying this out and seeing how this goes. And so we really, you know, on the first try, we got pregnant, and I think that was like very surprising to both of us. and really, I think like I was 35 when I got pregnant, and so for so many years of like trying to prevent pregnancy, it was quite a different experience to feel like, oh wow, okay, I'm like, we're really doing this now. This is we're gonna move forward with the pregnancy. And so I think it was very surreal getting that positive test and feeling like, oh, I thought maybe we had a little more time to get used to this idea. But yeah, like things just really kind of, it felt like something else kind of just took hold of the process and the experience. And that it, you know, a midwife that I had said something about how, like, if you just sort of allow things to go how they go, it's just amazing how the body does its own thing, and there's not really much thinking about it that you have to do. So I think in that way that felt comforting. And this was right, you know, kind of in the middle of COVID. So this was in 2020 that I got pregnant. I think it was like May of 2020. And I think actually that worked out to be such a nice thing for me, having a pregnancy during that time, because I was able to just really like experience the changes that were going on in my body. And there wasn't so much of this like interaction with other people and having all of these comments about what was going on with my body. It was much more of a just like a kind of an individual experience that I was able to have. And yeah, just in that like first time parent experience, there was so, I mean, just, well, even now that my daughter's a toddler, I feel like every step, it's like we're constantly on this learning curve of how does this go, how do we do this. Mm-hmm. And so it definitely felt like that in pregnancy as well. And the pregnancy, I would say, was like overall really great in terms of what I hear from other people and what they experience. But I had a lot of food aversions, and that was something that I wasn't expecting. And so really, like, all vegetables were just disgusting to me in the first definitely in the first trimester. And that, like, being someone who eats a lot of vegetables, that was hard for me. And then also feeling like so many food smells were just really not okay. So I know, like, my husband eats a lot of cabbage and chickpeas, and and those two things were just like so repulsive that I had to have him. He started like cooking a lot of things in the Instapot out on our patio so that I didn't have to like smell them.
What a gem.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's so funny that you hear all these things about pregnancy cravings and everybody asks you, oh, what are you craving? What are you craving? But I find for the most part, most people, yeah, there's some cravings there, but it's mostly those aversions that nobody really says anything about. And then so unexpected and you're just hit with, oh, that does not bode well.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, and I can remember, especially in the first trimester, taking many long naps, like with the bedroom door closed while my husband tried to sort of like frantically do some cooking for himself. And but yeah, I think you're so right about food aversions. That was much more of an experience for me compared to the cravings. And then toward the third trimester, I did have a lot of heartburn as well, which was something that I had never experienced before. And that was challenging to try to manage, like trying to get in nutrients without kind of tipping over into that place of heartburn. And I did a lot of yoga during my pregnancy, and that was something that I kind of tried to navigate, of like how much can I do, how much is okay, how much might be like pushing into too much, and can I do a headstand like in the third trimester, is that going to cause the baby to be breech? But I really tried to just, you know, each day kind of listen to what was happening to my body, and it felt like things changed kind of day to day, where one day a yoga pose might have been okay, and then the next day it was like, oh, that doesn't feel quite right. And I also, so I was looking for, you know, a care provider, and was able to get in with a really wonderful midwife, and I felt like I really connected with her and felt so supported during my pregnancy, and that was like one of the most lovely experiences, getting to feel so nurtured through my pregnancy. And this woman is a bit of an older woman, and she just had this kind of like grandmotherly energy, which was so nice for me. And so it felt like, you know, my prenatal checkups were really, I really looked forward to them, going in to see this person and kind of getting to see what was happening with baby and how baby was growing. And I can remember as well, at the time of the anatomy scan, we decided that we really wanted to know the sex of the baby, and that actually helped me to feel so much more bonded to my baby. I think maybe it just gave her a bit more of an identity in my body somehow, where I felt like I knew her a little bit more. And that, yeah, so that, you know, it was something that I had wondered about, could we wait and could we find out as a surprise? But I think both of us, my husband and myself, don't really love surprises, so we decided to just go ahead and find out as soon as we could. And yeah, like really everything went so well during the pregnancy. The only kind of hiccup there, I would say, was toward the end, it seemed like my belly was measuring a bit on the small side, and so I went in for an extra ultrasound for that, and everything was totally fine with the growth. It was just, it seemed like she was really kind of snuggled down quite far into my pelvis. And so that shifted the measurements a little bit. And I appreciated so much that my midwife, I mean, she, throughout the whole experience, she was so just kind of calm about everything. It wasn't ever like, oh, this is a bit of a red flag or anything like that. I think with anything that would have come up, she probably would have been that way. And then I also, like when I was thinking about where I wanted to give birth, I think if we had had the option of giving birth like in a birthing center, I probably would have chosen that. But I know, well, to my knowledge, we don't really have birthing centers here in BC.
I know, it's so sad.
Yeah, it is, right? Like that would be such a nice compromise between going to the hospital versus home birth. But then I ended up, there was like a it was a little webinar that Roundhouse Midwives were doing along with Vida Doulas, and they were talking all about home birth. And so I attended this webinar, and it was like, I think they had it as a webinar because it was COVID and everyone was sort of like still in their homes, and it was great. Like, they just talked all about what home birth might look like and what that option could be like. And so I started to think, oh, that could be really interesting. And I remember talking with my midwives about how maybe I could just labor at home as long as possible and then see where things went. And if it turned out that we needed to transfer to the hospital, I was definitely open to that. But the more I thought about being in the hospital versus being at home, I'm someone who really enjoys just kind of like being in my own space and not really having many people around me. And I felt really comfortable at home, and I wasn't sure that I would feel that same level of comfort if I were at the hospital.
Yeah, that sounds like you're the kind of person who's very aligned for a home birth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt that way.
We talked a little bit about like planning for pregnancy. And I noticed, yeah, you had midwives and you did the yoga. That's so awesome. Were you able to do yoga just until the end of your pregnancy, or how did that go?
I was. Yeah, I think I did yoga all the way through. I want to say that I did like some yoga the morning that I went into labor, like later in the day I went into labor.
So awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, yoga and acupuncture as well. That was super supportive during pregnancy, as well as massage. I'm pretty sure I had a massage the day that I also went into labor.
Oh, those massages can get you. I feel like they just get you so relaxed, and he's like, okay, now it's time to come. I guess now we can get into going into labor.
So this was, I guess, 39 weeks and 4 days. And actually, my mom was planning to come and help us during kind of the postpartum time. And so she lives in the US, and since this was COVID, she kind of was able to like come into the country during this very narrow window of time when the border was still open. And she ended up coming kind of like, she arrived at our house 2 weeks before my due date, and she actually needed to come 2 weeks before that to quarantine, like at a Airbnb.
Yeah. So that, crazy. I almost forgot that was a thing. So crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. And thinking back about like everything she did to get here for that, it really was quite a lot. And like she drove up here from Colorado over several days and then stayed at this Airbnb and then came to our house. And so that was lovely. Like I had stopped working about 2 weeks before my due date, and that felt like a good amount of time where I wasn't I didn't have to get into my head about things, but I also had time to just relax and just kind of chill out and do whatever I felt like doing without having work hanging over my head. And so then, yeah, we had kind of been waiting and hadn't really seen any signs of labor coming on. But then I think that, this was around like 39 weeks and 4 days, something like that. And I started to lose some of my mucus plug. And that was something I had never really seen before, like some very interesting things that were being passed as that mucus plug was coming out. And just like a lot of really sort of gelatinous stuff that was coming out, and then some bloody show that was happening. And I remember as well that night before, or that night that labor started, that I, like, all of a sudden as we were having dinner, I just felt like, okay, I'm done. I am done having dinner. Like, I had only eaten part of my dinner and I felt like this is enough. And I also started to feel like I couldn't sit down comfortably. So I was standing at our table, like finishing up my dinner. And then I thought, okay, I guess I'll just head to bed. And I typically go to bed pretty early. So I tried to go to sleep and just kind of felt funny, I guess, like felt a little bit different than I usually felt. And I think I kind of dozed, but didn't really sleep that night. And so then probably around 11 or 11:30, I started to feel like, I don't think I really can lay in bed any longer. So I got up, went to the bathroom, and then things started to pick up quite a bit from there, where I started to feel some cramping, and then started vomiting. And that really was like the thing that I remember most from this labor.
Oh, no.
That it was like vomiting with every contraction, really.
Oh, poor you. Doesn't happen so to funny. Everyone, but yeah, right? Man, when it happens, it is not fun. I'm sorry you experienced that.
Well, I think it really, I'm sorry I experienced that too, but I think it also helped to really kind of facilitate like moving my baby down. And so in that way, you know, that was helpful. Mm-hmm. And really like my system was just clearing itself out, I think, like clearing out from both ends. So I just kind of hung out on the toilet and had my bowl there, and my husband was just, you know, emptying this vomit after every time I would throw up. And we were joking because he had actually never seen me throw up before that. Like, I had just never been sick like in our entire relationship. So yeah, but he was great with that. Like, he would kind of empty my bowls and try to time contractions as I was just sitting there on the toilet. And really, like, the toilet was my place of choice for laboring during this, during both of the labors. And so I can remember just kind of, you know, hanging out there on the toilet. And as the contractions got more intense, I would use my breathing. So just kind of focusing on my yoga, my experience with yoga, I would use like that Ujjayi breath. And I found that just to be so helpful for focusing my mind on something other than being able to shift away from like purely being in the physical experience so much. And we had also rented a TENS machine. And so at some point during this, you know, I was thinking, okay, I guess this is labor. Like, I guess this is all, I think being in that space of like having never done this before, I kept thinking like, I guess this is what's supposed to be happening. And so my husband was also trying to kind of like connect all the bits of the TENS machine, which is like this great device that you kind of like put these electrodes on your back, and then you have a little controller that will, it sends these like electric signals that I guess help to kind of like confuse the nerve signal so that your perception of the pain or, you know, sensation is shifted a bit. And I actually found that to be so helpful, that TENS machine, and being able to like hit a little button to kind of like boost the sensations that I was getting from the TENS machine every time I had a contraction. So yeah, my husband's trying to like read the directions with his little flashlight in the dark. And I was like, no, I can't have any bright lights on or anything. And I can remember also that Jack was trying to do things that were comforting for me, like giving me hip squeezes or giving me heat for my back, like a hot pack. And I was just like, no, you know, just like, no, this is
just
not
the
right.
TENS unit.
Yes, please. Yeah. I was surprised that I just really like did not want to be touched. I kind of wanted to just like go inward and not really have anyone near. Like, I wanted Jack to be kind of nearby, but I didn't want him too close. I needed like a bit of a bubble around me. And then, so I think by this time, Jack started to think, okay, maybe we should call the midwife just to give her a heads up. But I also didn't want to call her too early. So I think I kind of labored until maybe 5 o'clock. And that's when we felt okay about paging the midwife, and she called back. And she seemed to think that it sounded like I was coping okay with labor. So she said, okay, I'm going to make myself a coffee and then I'll come over and I'll be there about 7 o'clock. So just kind of kept going. And at some point I started to feel like I needed, so I'm on the toilet and I started to feel like my legs were getting super shaky, and I was trying to drink water, and I also was trying to have there was like this electrolyte drink, this homemade electrolyte drink that I read that you could make with like molasses and lemon juice and sea salt and all these other things. So I think my mom was trying to mix that up for me in the kitchen, and then Jack brought it into me and I tried it, and it was like the most disgusting thing that I had ever tasted. And I said, no, I just want plain water. But by this time, you know, I'd been kind of laboring along and didn't really have that much in my system. So I think I was able to drink a little bit of like emergency, like just the powdered mixes that you can put into water, just little sips of that. But mostly I just wanted plain water. But I also knew that I had heard it was important to try to stay hydrated and to make sure that I was peeing every so often, just because sometimes having a really full bladder can kind of hinder the labor process. So then my midwife arrived, and I can remember Jack, what he did a really nice job of juggling all the things, of like being very calm when he was in the room with me in the bathroom. And then he would run out and kind of tell my mom, like, hey, can you do X, Y, Z? And can you? And then he would, when my midwife got there, he ran out to get her and brought her back in. But he seemed to always kind of come back, like, right around those moments when I needed him to be there. So like every 3 or 4 minutes, he would be back. And so then, yeah, my midwife, she got all set up. And oh, yes. So then I felt like, I think there were a few times when I tried to actually like lay down on the bathroom floor, like between contractions, because I felt like I needed to rest. But as soon as I would get down on the floor, then another contraction would be back, and I'd be back on the toilet and back with my barf bowl. And and then I decided, okay, maybe moving to the tub would be a good thing. Maybe that would feel good. So Jack started at the, and the tub actually is in a different bathroom. Like, and our place is not very big, but this was like in the front of our house. And it seemed like such a long way to go between like the back bathroom and the front bathroom wall, like throwing up. And but I had a contraction and then made my way as quickly as I could to the front bathroom. And I remember just feeling kind of like in my pelvis, almost like, you know, that it was funny to walk because things were opening and things were changing, and it just felt so different trying to walk. And I really don't even know how I could have gotten into the car if we had decided to go to the hospital. Like, I'm not even sure at what point we would have done that. So I was glad that we had the option of doing home birth. And so I made my way to the front bathroom, got in the bath, and that was, I think it was nice. Like, it, in some ways it helped me to relax some of my muscles, but I also felt like it was almost like the water was kind of pushing upward on my perineum in a way that felt like it was fighting all of this like downward sensation that was trying to happen. But while I was there in the bath, my midwife arrived and she was setting up all of her things, and she came in to chat with me. And then I remember her saying, okay, maybe we can just kind of check what's going on with your dilation. At whatever point you feel like you're ready to do that. So at some point I had had a contraction and I felt ready to just get out of the bath and let her check what was going on. And I had told her beforehand that I didn't want her to tell me if I was like at a one or if I was further along than that. I didn't really want her to tell me anything until she felt like I was fully dilated. So I remember her just saying, oh yeah, you're doing great. Just keep doing what you're doing. And there was a certain part where she was checking, where she said, like, really focus on trying to relax here in this one area. And so I found out later that she had come out from the bathroom and she told my husband and my mom that I was at an 8 at that point. I was at 8 centimeters. But I was glad that I didn't have that information. I was glad to just kind of stay in my inward focused place and keep doing what I was doing. And so then I started to feel like I was pretty done being in the bath, and I went back to sitting on the toilet. That felt like the place that I wanted to be. And I remember feeling like, oh, something's different. Like something, it started to feel almost like the urge to have a bowel movement. But like times 100, like it was really quite a strong sensation. And so I felt myself kind of like holding that back a little bit. And so Jack went to tell my midwife, and she said, okay, well, I think really, if you don't want the baby to be born on the toilet, we should probably move you to the place where you would like to be. And so we just, during this time, my mom had kind of set up our den, which is just like a little nook that doesn't have any windows or anything. And she had put up like these fairy lights in there and put down a like a mattress topper type of a thing, and just got the space set up in a really nice way. And so I came in, and my midwife checked again, and she said I was fully dilated and I could go ahead and push whenever I wanted to. And at that point, I remember really struggling to find a position that felt comfortable to push in. Like there was, I felt like I wanted to be in more of a squatting position. But that also, like I was basically, I would move to a squatting position during each contraction and then kind of move out of that as each contraction ended. And it would be like this kind of over and over again. And then I remember my midwife suggesting like, okay, maybe you can kind of, your husband can be like in the, on the couch in there, and you can kind of like put your arms in his lap and be like on hands and knees. And that felt, it still didn't quite feel like this satisfying position that I wanted to be in, but I couldn't, in that place, in, with what was going on internally, like I couldn't quite think through like what else would be satisfying. So I was just trying what people were suggesting to me and feeling like, no, this is not quite it, but I don't know what else is it. So I guess I'll just give it a try. And then as I started pushing, I remember the contractions really changed a lot, where they weren't as intense anymore. And maybe that's because the sensation of pushing was so intense, that it almost like just kind of took over the whole experience, the birthing experience. Yeah. And so I can remember getting ready to start pushing and starting to kind of give these little pushes and not really knowing if that was doing anything at all. But my midwife was very reassuring, just kind of coaching me along and saying, yeah, you're doing a great job, just like that. Or she would say, you know, okay, just like that, but give a little bit more. And that was helpful for me, just having that feedback of like, what I'm doing is having some effect, and it's doing what it's supposed to do. And I can also remember really feeling like the distinct feeling that my body was just going to like rip in half, really, and that was like, there was a feeling inside of like, can I just check out of this? Like, I don't think I really want to go through with this birth experience. Like, I think I'm done. We'll just stop now. And maybe we can try again at a different time. But yeah, then there was a point at which I felt like, okay, right, I have to actually get this baby out, and I have to like move through that experience of feeling like my body is going to break in half. Even if that's what ends up happening, I have to kind of go there. And so, yeah, I think I pushed for about 40 minutes or so. And I can remember the very, very intense ring of fire sensation and just feeling like things cannot possibly stretch anymore. And I don't know what's happening. And then finally, baby's head was out. And that was just the most relieving sensation ever of like, wow, this gigantic thing has just come through. And I can remember as well that when her head was out, she started making these little like squawking noises. Mm-hmm. And I think at that point, like, it really, I mean, of course I knew that there was a baby growing inside my body this whole time, but that just made it so real at that moment. Like, wow, there's a baby that's actually like a live baby right here, and here she comes. And then I think on the next contraction, I gave a big push and the rest of her body came out, and my midwife passed her up to me, and I was able to sit down and look at her and hold her. And it was just like the most amazing experience, seeing this little being that had been inside that was now here, and seeing how she looked, and just feeling this really immense sense of love and really just like delight at seeing her and seeing, you know, yeah, seeing this little being that had arrived here in our den, like who was not there a few minutes ago. And so my husband and I just got to kind of sit and look at her and hold her. And I think as well, as her body was coming out, the second midwife who was there at my house, because there were two midwives since I was having a home birth, she had given me a shot of Pitocin, which was something that we had discussed ahead of time, that's what I wanted to help with this, to help with the placenta coming out and kind of reduce the risk of having excess bleeding. And yeah, so then I remember my midwife saying, okay, can you just like give a little bit of a push? And she said, oh yeah, your placenta is right here. And she just kind of pulled gently on the cord and the placenta came right out.
Amazing.
Yeah, right, yes. And that also was like such a relieving, it was something about that placenta finally coming out that felt like, wow, this we've done it, everything's out, and this just like a big sigh of relief from my body, I think.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, it's so easy to kind of just get caught up in the labor, and you're just so focused on what physically is happening, and then all of a sudden you remember, right, yeah, I am meeting my baby. And it almost feels like there's no time to prepare because you're just transition from the birth, like right into that newborn baby.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that sounds like such an empowering and amazing home birth. How long was your labor?
Yeah. So she was born at 9:42 in the morning. So I'm thinking that maybe active labor started around 11:30 the night before, and then she's born at like 9:42. So I think it was like a fairly short labor as labors go, and such a time warp, like it just being in it, you know, it felt like seconds had passed when it had been like an hour.
Yeah, since you just go to Laborland and just lose concept of all time there. How's your immediate postpartum after that?
Yeah. So my midwife checked on, you know, what was going on with tearing, and she said, oh, you have like one very small tear. And she said I could either stitch it or I don't need to, whatever you prefer. And so I opted to, she said, you know, if it were her, she would probably just go ahead and do one little stitch there. And that actually was extremely uncomfortable. I think maybe like I needed a bit more numbing, but didn't know that that's not really what it was supposed to feel like. So I can remember that being very pinchy and uncomfortable. But, you know, we got that stitch in, and then I just got to kind of soak things in with my baby, and she kind of latched on. I was very keen to breastfeed, and so I wanted to like have that skin to skin with her and then let her latch. And I know, like, and my midwife started to notice that my nipples seemed to be very red and irritated, like in the first couple of hours before she even left my house after the home birth. And so she had been a little bit worried about that and just said, like, okay, we're gonna try to keep an eye on this. And she said she would be back, I think, like the next day to check on me. But that, and I can talk a bit more about this, but that was the start of some challenges that we had with breastfeeding. But like, I would say that immediate postpartum was just so lovely. And I can remember being so thirsty and so hungry. It was like all the hunger that had like built up during my pregnancy. You know, I felt like my appetite hadn't been that great during pregnancy, but it was like, it just all came back all in that moment after birth. And I wanted all the water and all the coconut water and just like all the food that I could get into myself. And it felt so good to eat. And it was like the heartburn had just disappeared.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. That breastfeeding hunger will get you.
Yes, I was not prepared.
Kind of amazing how much it takes just to provide milk for another human. It's not really something you kind of think, oh yeah, let me drink a little bit more. But I don't know, in my experience, I was just eating some just ravenous all of the time. I could not get enough to drink, could not get enough food. It was just like, it's a lot.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. So you have your first baby, and then what did planning for a second look like, or if you were planning at all?
Yeah. So after having Ember, our first, I can remember like actually in those first few moments after giving birth, I said to Jack, I am never doing that again.
Very common.
Right. Oh, and even so much that like in the first 3 months or so after having Ember, I gave away like all of her baby clothes that she would grow out of. And I thought like, there's no way we're having any more. But then after about the 3 month mark, I started thinking, well, maybe we would like to do this again. Maybe we would like to have a second. And this began, long conversation about like, do we want to do this? What do we think? What are the pros and cons? And so eventually we decided, okay, we'll go for it. And the second time around, it was just so interesting because the first time it felt like things just came so easily, like almost a little bit too easily, where we felt a bit taken aback by the experience. But the second time around, I was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for my cycle to come back. And I did end up being able to exclusively breastfeed Ember after like a lot of challenges and kind of fighting through some things in those initial months. And so my, I think it I was like 19, 20, most 20 months postpartum, and my cycle still hadn't come back. And so I started working with a naturopath, and she had me take some herbs to help kind of, it's almost like a like an herbal type of Clomid, where it would help with kind of getting my body to go back into cycle mode. And that worked really well, actually. And it turned out that I had one period, and then we got pregnant right after that, like on the next try. Yeah. So that was really exciting. And so that would have been like around 20, I think Ember was like 21 months around that time. And like this time, I think having gone through a first pregnancy, it was so much more nerve-wracking the second time around, just knowing like, yeah, miscarriage could happen at any time, and just kind of being more aware of some of the statistics and being like knowing more people who had gone through pregnancies and had kids and or had experiences of loss, just thinking about like, of course, like that could certainly happen. Mm-hmm. And so I think I was kind of like waiting for that first ultrasound to see if there was a heartbeat. And as well, like, when we first got that positive pregnancy test, it was like, I think it's positive, but I was testing so early that it was like every day I would kind of check and check and check, and is it getting darker? What's happening? And I would like take a photo and send it to a friend of mine and ask like, do you think it's getting darker? And and it was nice, like having some other people who were there with me through the pregnancy compared to first time around, and some good friends that I had made. And yeah, so right away I contacted my midwife's office to see if my midwife would be available since I had had such a great experience with her. And it turned out she was retiring and would be retiring like before this baby was going to be born. Yeah, so I was thinking, oh no. But there was another, like a new midwife starting with that practice. And so I said, okay, I'll give it a try with this new midwife, even though I was really bummed out. And it turned out that this new midwife, I just loved her. She was just so wonderful. Yeah. And I really felt like the first midwife I had was perfect for my first pregnancy. The second one was just, you know, like the best for this second pregnancy. And I turned out to be so glad that it worked out the way that it did. Yeah. And so I had some really similar symptoms, like the really intense food aversions. And so that on top of like having a toddler it was a lot. And, you know, we were like out of COVID time. So I was going back to work in person. So it felt a little bit different than the pregnancy before. And then around the time of my anatomy scan, we found out again the sex of the baby and that it was going to be a girl. And I was really thrilled about that. Just that Ember would have a sister. I have a brother who's wonderful, but I had always wanted a sister growing up. So I thought, oh, how nice for Ember to be able to have a sister. And so then, yeah, around the time of the anatomy scan, we learned that it looked like, they couldn't quite visualize the cord insertion, but it looked like there was a velamentous cord insertion, which means that like the umbilical cord doesn't quite, I guess, connect with the placenta as deeply as it might otherwise. And so there's some risk that like during labor, maybe the baby might not be getting as much blood and oxygen as they need to be, or maybe even late in pregnancy, their growth might be compromised because that insertion is not as good as it could be, or that potentially, like if there's any traction placed on the cord as the placenta is coming out, that the placenta and the cord could kind of separate, and then the midwife might need to do like a manual removal of that placenta, which didn't sound fun at all.
Not fun.
So I ended up, you know, I talked and talked with my midwife about it, and I told her like I would love to be able to have another home birth. I had this really lovely home birth with my first. I would really like to be able to do that again. And so, you know, she was open to the idea, and I appreciated so much that she, like the whole way along, she just said like, okay, let's just kind of see how things go, and we'll just take the information as we get it, and we'll use that to inform the decision. And so then I, because of this potentially velamentous cord insertion, I was referred to have like some additional ultrasounds in the third trimester, and also to have these consults with the OBs at the hospital just to see what their take was on things. And I can remember like the first OB that I saw, so I had this ultrasound in the third trimester, and I was hoping that maybe they would be able to confirm whether that insertion actually was velamentous or not. But I learned from the ultrasound tech that very likely there would be no way for us to confirm that because the baby was getting larger and was kind of like almost like laying on top of that place where the cord insertion was happening. So we wouldn't be able to see what was going on. So there would be no way for us to like for sure know whether it was velamentous or not.
Wow, so tough.
Yeah.
Unknowns are not a fun thing in pregnancy. You're like, just give me the information and I'll be able to prepare. But those unknowns, those are tough. It's tough in the mindset.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so this OB who I saw in the hospital was really lovely, but also really gave me a lot of like statistics about what could happen if we were at home, if we were having a home birth, and really recommended that I have a hospital birth. And so I said, you know, okay, I'll think about it and I'll talk about it with my midwife. And so I still like really strongly felt like I wanted to try for a home birth, even though there was a recommendation to have a hospital birth. And I saw a number of other OBs after that, some of whom recommended hospital birth. Others said, you know, you could kind of see how it goes. But with each ultrasound, they said, well, baby's growth is looking great. And that's the thing that felt kind of most important during that third trimester, that baby was still growing really well. And so, yeah, my midwife said, yeah, if you want to try for a home birth, we can see how it goes with like a very low threshold to transfer to the hospital. If you do need, if we see anything that's concerning or anything happening with baby's heart rate. So yeah, I decided to just go with that and see what happened. And I felt good about the way all of that played out and really the lovely care that I had through trying to navigate that challenging decision.
That's so nice. Yeah, I just love the midwifery model of care and that informed consent aspect of it, because it just really empowers you to make the own, you know, it's your birth. So you can have the information and then choose what you may. So it sounds like you were really comfortable and that you had a plan in place and that your care team felt comfortable and you felt comfortable. Why not a home birth?
Yeah,
Awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shall I move into the labor experience with this
one? Yeah, we can get into
Okay.
labor and birth.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and so for this one, I think one challenging piece about having a home birth was wondering what would happen with my toddler if, you know, if she were awake during the time when I went into labor. And I did really think that I needed my own space. Even as much as I would have loved to have her there in the room, I felt like it might kind of pull me out of the experience of being able to kind of move deeply into labor. And so my mom said she would come again from Colorado to be with Ember. And so she came again like 2 weeks before my due date, and I stopped working about two weeks before my due date, and we came up with all kinds of plans of like, what if I go into labor at this point? Then, you know, what's the plan? And and so then this was, so with Ember, I had given birth at 39 weeks and 5 days. And so I can remember kind of coming up to that time in this pregnancy where I kept thinking like, of course, I'll go into labor by that time or before. That it was just very set in my mind that that's how it would be. And so I was doing all the things to try to help my body prepare for labor. I was doing the mile circuit. Actually, that's something I forgot to mention with my birth with Ember. As I was getting ready for labor, I did the mile circuit, which is like this series of movements that are thought to really help prepare your body for labor and kind of help to get the baby in the optimal position to then put a bit more pressure on the cervix and help get the labor process started. So I was doing that every day, and I was going to acupuncture, and I was like eating all the dates and having a raspberry leaf tea and
all the things.
And then all the things. Yeah. And then 39 weeks and 5 days came and went, and still nothing was happening. And I was starting to feel like, when is this baby going to come out? And so then my midwife had offered that she could see me to do a membrane sweep on like right at 40 weeks if I wanted that. And so I got to 40 weeks, and you know, I mean, it's funny. It's not like I was 42 weeks or, you know, something like that, really feeling like, you know, overdue. And that's such an interesting term, because I feel like the baby and the body just have their own timeline versus like this timeline of when baby is due. But I felt like, okay, yes, I am ready for a sweep, and I'm ready to try to help baby help baby along. We can get the show on the road. And so I saw my midwife. I met her at the hospital because I think I had another ultrasound that day, and I had a non-stress test scheduled for that day. And I was hoping to not have to do any of that. I was hoping that labor would have started before that. But it was actually so nice, like having the non-stress test and just kind of getting that out of the way, and then seeing my midwife there at the hospital. And she was just so lovely and reassuring. And she did a sweep, and she said, actually, I can like stretch you to like a 5 or 6
Oh, wow.
Centimeters. So yeah,
awesome.
So that was so surprising. So she said, I'm doing quite like a thorough sweep here. And I didn't find that painful at all, actually. Like it was really, it felt totally fine. I was a bit worried about how that was going to feel. And so then after that, we went and we did some grocery shopping, and I could feel like a little bit of cramping. And my daughter Ember was at her daycare that day. And so my husband and I just had a really nice day together of like being able to just kind of do whatever we felt like doing. So then I think we came home, we had some lunch, and we went out for ice cream, and we did some curb walking as we were walking there. And I could feel like, yeah, just a bit more kind of tender and sensitive, I suppose. And like a little bit kind of mildly crampy, but nothing more than that, really. And then later that night, like maybe around 5:30 or 6, we, my husband and I and our daughter, we went out for a walk. And then I could start to feel that some of this cramping was maybe like picking up a bit of a rhythm, where it would like be a little bit more crampy, and then it would let off, and then a little more crampy. And so I just started to keep track of the timing of when that was happening. And we got home, and I had this bedtime routine with Ember where I would help her get ready for bed, and we would like I would help her have a shower, and she had started to prefer showers over baths at that time. And so and then I would get her PJs on, you know, and get her all set and ready for bed. And so this was probably like 7 or 7:30, and I can remember thinking like, okay, things are like, something is changing here. And there were a few times as I was getting her ready for bed when I needed to just stop and kind of like breathe through some of the contractions. And I can remember her saying like, Mom, like what's going on? What's happening? And I can remember just saying, everything's okay. I'm just gonna breathe through this experience of what's happening. And so then I got her all set, and I passed her to my husband, and he put her to bed. And then I thought to myself, okay, this definitely feels different than what was happening a few days ago, what was happening earlier in the day. So I think I'm just going to lay down and see if I can get some rest. And no, I was not able to rest at all. That ended up feeling really uncomfortable. So then all I wanted to do was be back on the toilet. So I went and was hanging out there on the toilet, fully expecting that I would start vomiting at any moment. So I had my bowl there, my barf bowl with me. And then pretty soon after that, my husband got the TENS machine hooked up for me again. And I had kind of this like complex setup where I think I was like sitting on the toilet. I had my feet up on the like squatty potty, and then I actually had the like yoga ball kind of between my knees, and I had the barf bowl like between my chest and the yoga ball. And then I had like a pillow on top of the yoga ball so that I could like rest my head between mm-hmm. contractions on this pillow. And so
amazing
a contraction would...
right. Got everything you need right there.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think I had like one arm around this bowl and one arm on the ball, and a contraction would come, and I would just kind of sway side to side on the ball and breathe and like hit my TENS machine to give me a little boost. And so then we texted the midwife maybe somewhere around 8 o'clock, just to give her a heads up that it seemed like things were moving in the direction of a baby coming. And she said, okay, you know, just kind of keep me posted. And then I think Jack ended up maybe texting her back not too long after that, maybe like a half hour after that, to say like, hey, I think things are starting to pick up. And she said, okay, do you want me to come over? And both of us were like, I don't know. She's like, I don't know if it's going to be a long while or if you should come over now. But she actually lived just a couple doors down from us. So she said, I'll get my stuff and I'll come over and I'll just see what's happening. And so she came in, and at this point, so my daughter was asleep. And so we let my mom know that all of this was, like, my mom was awake, so she knew that all of this was going on. But she went in to be in the room with my daughter. And we co-sleep with my toddler. So my mom went in to lay next to my daughter. So I felt like she was set and they were good to go. And I could just kind of be in my own space and my own world there. And so my midwife came, she started just getting her equipment set up, and I could hear her like testing out some of the equipment, and it was so loud that I knew for sure it was going to wake up my toddler. And I was just thinking, okay, I hope this all can go according to plan. And I'm thinking like, okay, my toddler does wake up, then my mom has to like whisk her out the door and go, you know, who knows where. but yeah, I was trying to just let that all be okay. And it actually didn't wake up my toddler. Like, even with this massive noise going on in the background, it was all okay.
It is so funny. And we always think, oh, that's for sure going to wake them up. And then you kind of start getting all emotional about it. And then they stay sleeping.
Yep.
She knew that she had to stay sleeping and that you had to give you your time.
Exactly. Yeah. I think my mom ended up like not sleeping at all, even though she tried, but she was kind of listening to anything she could hear out here in the living room, because we were like on just one level. And so then my midwife came in and she just kind of chatted with me a bit, and we had to pause a few times while I had contractions. And then she said, okay, I said to her, like, I think I need to change something. I think I'd like to get in the tub and just see how that feels. And she said, okay, well, maybe if it's okay with you, I'd like to just check how your dilation is going between when you get off the toilet and when you get in the tub. And this time I had chosen the front bathroom to labor in, so I only had to walk a couple steps to the tub. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like across our condo. And so then I remember my midwife checked what was going on, and she said, you know, wow, like you're out of 10 right now, like you're good to go, you can start pushing whenever you want. And I was just so elated by that, to feeling like, okay, this is great. And this probably was around, I guess, 10:30, when that had happened. And so then I said, okay, I don't need to get in the bath anymore, I'm just gonna go out to where I'd like to give birth. And so I came out to the living room. And we had things set up a little bit differently this time. I had really given a lot of thought to where I wanted to be and the position that I wanted to be in. And that felt better, like having gone through it once and knowing a bit more about what I wanted that to look like. Yeah, so I was all set up out here in the living room. Oh, yes. And they had been really kind of using the Doppler to listen to baby's heart rate along the way, and had said, everything sounds great, like, you know, we're good to go to continue on here. And so each time she would listen, I just felt a lot of relief of like, things are going okay, we can move forward and with the home birth. And so then, yeah, this time it was really nice. Like, I had asked my husband to take a few pictures, because we really didn't have any pictures from last time around. And I was just on our couch, like kind of on my knees with my elbows on the back of the couch. And I had the TENS machine on, and that, it felt like a really good position where I could kind of get some leverage with each of my pushes. And I remember also being like a little bit more vocal, I think, with some of the pushes in a way that felt like it was helping to facilitate that downward movement of the baby. And so I think I ended up pushing for about 20 minutes and again felt that like really intense experience of like, you know, opening and kind of that ring of fire. But I also felt like my body knew what those sensations were this time around, instead of like, you know, a bit of that, like, what is happening? I don't think I can actually push through this, but knowing like, yes, this is what's supposed to be happening and it's okay. And then same kind of thing, her head came out, immense relief at that point. And I felt her whole body kind of turn as she was coming out. Oh, and right, this time around as well, like both times during both labors, my water broke kind of as I was nearing the end of pushing. And so this time with Thea, she ended up still being kind of like in the sack, basically. Like there was some of that over her face as she was coming out. Mm-hmm. And I remember my husband saying like what is that? Like, because she looked so strange, like still in the sack there, and he was going to help catch her. And so then my midwife was kind of wiping away some of that. And then he was like, oh, right. Okay. It's the head. That's the head.
Yeah, with those on-call births, it's just like, yeah. Wait a minute, wait, what's coming out?
Yeah, right. Yes.
Yeah, he's like, I thought I knew what this was.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, I just gave one last big push and she came out all the way. And actually both Ember and Thea were born like with one of their hands upright by their head. But I can remember like Jack kind of passed her to me and she was just so like so warm and so slippery. I had a hard time like really getting a hold of her. But then I just, you know, sat down with her and again, just that the best feeling, like this huge endorphin rush, and also like, yeah, feeling really on such a high from that experience. And I also just felt like with the two midwives who were there during that birth, that it was like a little party. It was like having two good friends there, and like the mood was so, you know, people were really just like so joyful about this experience that had just happened and so positive about that. And so the placenta this time, like my midwife did not put any traction on that cord and again had given me that shot of Pitocin. And so the placenta just came out really easily, came out intact, but it was so interesting seeing that velamentous cord insertion, and it was velamentous.
Okay, yeah, it was. I was so curious. I'm like, yeah. What's gonna be the insertion?
Yes, yeah, but it was like, yeah, it looked so different from the placenta with Ember, where like, mm-hmm. I mean, it did look quite fragile, like where
I know, right? Because it's kind of like a triangle almost, like off to the side.
Yes,
yeah, I don't know. It's hard to describe. I'll have to put a picture in your show notes.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, and I had done like so much like visualization and meditation during my pregnancy about like just kind of wanting this really robust cord insertion, and I felt like really that I mean, like the placenta, it definitely served its purpose, and this like insertion did exactly what it needed to do, even though it looked crazy and there was all this like, you know, caution around that, but that felt, I felt so good about being able to actually have the home birth. And then I had like kind of the smallest of tears. My midwife said she'd put a stitch in that if I wanted, and I opted for that. And this time there was enough numbing where I felt like I wasn't good. You know, getting every little pinprick of the sensation there.
Nice.
I did end up losing quite a bit of blood. And I remember at one point my midwife was saying, like, you know, we need to kind of make a call about whether we need to do a hospital transfer for loss of blood. And I was just really hoping to not have to do that. So they gave me another shot of like the stronger Pitocin. She had kind of like stashed something in my fridge a few days before. And so she went and got that, gave me the shot of that. And they were able to get the bleeding to stop. And there were some clots up like in the cervix that my midwife needed to just kind of like sweep out with her finger, which was totally like I feel like I barely even noticed that part of things because everything was so lovely with the experience of just, you know, hanging out with my baby. And that sometimes I forget that part of the story, that there was quite a bit of, you know, blood loss at the end and almost needing to transfer to the hospital later on. But yeah, it all worked out. And this was, I gave birth to Thea at 11:05. She was 6 pounds, 12 ounces. Ember had been 6 pounds, 3 ounces. And then I had a few hours of getting to just kind of snuggle with her and breastfeed her a bit. And then Ember has always been a very, very early riser. So she woke around 4 or 4:30 in the morning and came out. And that was like the best, getting to see, having Ember get to see Thea and get to meet Thea after so many months of like, oh, there's a baby in your belly, and like getting to feel some little kicks and things. And she was here, and Ember was just like seeing that look on her face of she's here, like she's come out. And Ember got to come in and sit next to me, and she said, like right away she said, oh, can I hold her? And so I let her hold the and she just was so gentle with her, so caring. And that's a moment that I will forever remember, the meeting of the two siblings.
Yeah, I feel just such a special time. Yeah, that's so sweet. Thank you for sharing those two stories. It's so nice to hear such empowering births and even your pregnancies as well. Just the fact that you advocated for yourself and your birth team did as well for the things that you wanted in your birth. And you were just able to really stay aligned and did a lot of work on your mindset and just emotionally and mentally preparing for birth. It's so nice to see that when you can put a lot of thought into things, and it's so just so nice to see that things pan out nicely and that you were able to have some kind of control and agency in your birth. It's very sweet.
Thank you.
I know you wanted to talk about breastfeeding postpartum, but if you just wanted to share whatever you like about those first couple of months postpartum and adjusting.
I will say that so breastfeeding the second time around was like 1,000 times easier. And with Ember, yeah, we just had like a pretty harsh learning curve there with a lot of nipple damage. And I think like the only thing that my providers could say about that was there was like a bit of a size challenge in terms of like Ember's mouth being so small, and that's what was contributing to the nipple damage. And so we just kind of had to get through that to the point where her mouth grew a little bit. And so with Thea, I did not have those challenges, and you know, I was wondering how that was going to go. But Ember actually, like once we kind of got our breastfeeding relationship figured out, and I was at one point in time like feeding her and then needing to pump and then needing to use a supplemental nursing system to give her extra breast milk with every feed, and it was just pretty like a pretty full-time job. But once we got that figured out, you know, breastfeeding was so smooth and such a dream. And so Ember actually continued to feed all through my pregnancy. And now I'm tandem nursing Ember and Thea. And yeah, just trying to feed through some nursing aversions with Ember has been interesting. But I'm so glad for the experience of like working through that and being able to do both, being able to do that feeding with both.
It's so crazy what our bodies can do. Like, you think about people that have twins, and then you think, yeah, of course, I can feed both these babies. My body's meant to do that.
And I think there's not a lot of information about that, or even necessarily support around that. But yeah, actually just like talking to a number of other moms, I've found that to be really helpful. And through like the La Leche League, I found that to be super helpful as well for extra support with this.
Great. Yeah, such a good resource. Is there any kind of resources that you would recommend for any parents? I know you mentioned La Leche League, which is amazing, and that you did a lot of yoga.
Yeah, other resources. I definitely like seeing a lactation consultant in those first 6 weeks postpartum. That was like so helpful for me with Ember. And then like all of Ina May's books, I found those to be really useful during pregnancy. And I also read a book called Birthing from Within, which is kind of like an older book, but I found that to be really helpful and empowering. And then listening to podcasts, I listen to tons of birth stories. Like there's one called Doing It at Home that's all about home birth. And then one called Birth Queens, I think it's Kweens, that I loved. Yeah. And The Birth Hour, listening to lots of birth stories there too.
Awesome. Well, just thank you so much for coming on and sharing both your stories. It's so nice to hear.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Thanks for listening to Nettles and Honey, a podcast where we share our birth stories. See you next Thursday at 10 a.m. PST for another episode. Love and light!